One eye. I forced a chuckle. I guess they were smart enough to take their valuables with them. These people do seem determined to pay whatever price they have to, don't they? He sounded impressed. Grudgingly, I was developing a case of respect. And it looks like the company is going to be their one toss of the bones with fate. If you let them. There was the town, Vejagedia. It might once have been home to as many as 1,000 people. Now it was even more spooky than the abandoned farms. Out there, at least, we had encountered wildlife. In the town, I saw nothing but a few crows fluttering from roof to roof. The townsfolk had not locked their doors. We checked maybe 2 dozen buildings. It would do for a headquarters, I told Goblin. He grunted. After a while, he asked, "You making up your mind?" "Beginning to look made up for me, right? But we'll see what the others have to say." We headed north. Goblin did not have much to say after that. That gave me time to dwell on and invent deeper meanings to my roles as captain and potential warlord. If there was no choice but to fight and to lead a nation, I was going to make demands. I was not going to let the Taglians put me in a position where they could second-guess and override my every decision. I had watched my predecessors get half-crazy dealing with that. If the Taglians hooked me, I was going to hook them right back. We might call it something prettier, but by damn, I was going to be a military dictator. Me, Croker, the itinerant military physician and amateur historian, able to indulge in all the abuses I'd damned in princes for so long. It was a sobering notion. If we bought it and took the commission, and I got what I would demand, I might have Weezer follow me around and remind me that I'm mortal. He wasn't good for much else. The rain let up as we were riding into town. Now I knew the gods loved me. Chapter 29. Smoke's Hideout. Smoke was perched on a tall stool, bent over a huge old book. The room was filled with books. It looked like a wave of books had swept in and left tidal pools behind. Not only were there shelves dripping books, there were books stacked hip-high on the floor, books on tables and chairs, even books piled on the sill of the room's one small, high window. Smoke read by the light of a single candle. The room was sealed so tight the smoke had begun to irritate his nose and eyes. From time to time he grunted, made a note on a piece of paper to his left. He was left-handed. In all the palace, that room was the best protected from spying eyes. Smoke had woven webs and walls of spells to secure it. No one was supposed to know about it. It did not show on any plan of the palace. Smoke felt something touch the outermost of the protective spells, something as light as a mosquito's weight as it lands. Before he could swing his attention to it, it was gone, and he was not sure he had not imagined it. Since the incident of the crows and bats, he had been almost paranoid. Intuition told him he had reason. There were forces at work that were way beyond him. His best weapon was the fact that no one knew he existed. He hoped. He was a very frightened man these days. Terror lurked in every shadow. He jumped and squeaked when the door opened. "Smoke?"
"You startled me, Radisha.